The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside Chat. This week we talk the entire time spoiler-free. We talk about our first reviews. We get into a little discussion about the importance of movie trailers and teasers. Of course, we talk all things comics, have a few discussions in there, and a little controversy thrown in for fun. And as always, don't forget to listen at the end to our sponsors and how you can save some money. Now let's hurry up and head into the store. Oh boy. Oh boy.
What?
How you doing this week?
Man, if I was any better.
Alright, that's enough of that. They like us. They really like us.
Oh yeah. Tell me, Norma Rae, how much do they like us?
Did you see we got our first two reviews?
I did see that.
I'm excited. We have two.
Yeah.
First one came in. I didn't know that one came in until I saw the second one. I just happened to be scrolling through today and I saw them. First one came in Saturday, I guess. Goalie Space 54. These guys love hanging out talking comics, and you can tell. John really knows his comics, too. Lots of good info. I almost thought of leaving that part off because I figured we wouldn't get your head through the door.
I can't leave the room now.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other one came in yesterday. It's Mr. Floofy Pants 84. I think.
Is it not Fluffy?
Well, it's two U's. So I thought the same thing. Fluffy, Floofy, I don't know. I don't care what his name is or her. Well, Mr. would be a him.
Well, it's good thinking.
He said, two thumbs up. It's informative and keeps you in the loop what's going on in the comic book community. We need more podcasts like this. No, you don't. You got this one. I didn't like that part. No, just kidding. My job doesn't let us have our phones out. It's nice to have headphones on and just listen while working. Y'all are doing a good job. Keep it up! Exclamation point. So
all right.
That's awesome. So hopefully we can get some more if people are listening. We have two. We know we have two. That's confirmed, so we have multiple listeners. We can keep using plural listeners.
Right.
So, yeah.
We still have tens of listeners.
Yeah. So, yeah, both 5 stars, so we're on our way. For some reason, it still says we have 0 out of 0 stars. I don't know. I guess you have to have 10, or I don't know what it is, but.
Like I said, I think there's probably a minimum number you have to have for the stars to show up.
Right.
But hey, we're on our way.
Thank you, both of you, if you're listening. And we look forward to more, hopefully. But, yeah, thank you very much. That was awesome. Please, everybody, keep them coming. That was great. Really, how was your week?
It was really good. Really good. You know, I know we don't like to talk about politics and or sports, but I had a good sports weekend, so
yeah.
I'll leave it at that. You guys can guess whether I'm a Patriots fan or a Rams fan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well. I know.
I know you know.
But. Yeah, no, that was a tough weekend. That was
maybe I'm just a fan of good officiating.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's what I was gonna say. It's a tough weekend if you're a fan of officiating.
Yeah.
That was horrible. Yeah. That was horrible. Yeah. But something like that happens all the time, so, hey.
Yeah, you know, there's a missed call in every game ever, so, I mean.
Yeah.
Good teams find a way to rise above it and overcome.
Did you hear about the one in the Rams Saints game, how egregious it was, how bad it was, but did you hear that there's actually a rule in that they can, that the commissioner can actually overturn a game?
Well, I know there's a petition out there with a couple hundred thousand signatures asking them to replay the game this Saturday. That's not going to happen.
No. He can act, but he does have the power to replay the game. He could flat out just change the game. the outcome of the game. He could do that. That's another thing he could do. Or he could restart the game from that point. He has that power, which you're not going to do that. It's that the precedent that would set would be ridiculous.
Right. I mean, having the power was one thing. Listen, again, I know we don't want to get into this. This isn't sports radio. But, I mean, one call, there's more than one call that wins or loses any game.
Right.
You know, lots of other things happened in that game to get them to the point where they were. And, you know, you don't even know what happens if that call is made correctly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they could fumble on the next play.
Right.
Was that controversial play in the Patriots game where, you know, they thought Edelman muffed the kickoff and, you know, they went to replay and they gave the Patriots the ball back. And then the very next play, Tom Brady throws up an interception.
Right.
Literally it went right back. They actually came back with better field position than they would have had from the kickoff recovery.
Right.
So, you don't know what would have happened in any game. So you can't say, but,
right. We have yet to talk like sports and politics like that. And look at what it did to our podcast already. So you know how bad the officiating must have been if we're even starting off with that.
Right.
So, but speaking of, before we get into our comics this week, you mentioned the petition. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about this week. Did I talk to you about that before? Did you see the petition that's going around to get rid of or vacate The Last Jedi as part of Star Wars canon?
No, I haven't seen
you
that.
You haven't seen it?
I think I heard about it way back when the movie first came out. I didn't know it was still going on or if it's the same petition, but
it started 8 months ago. And I saw Twitter I saw it like a couple of weeks ago and somebody mentioned the update for it. And I don't know the exact numbers, but they wanted to get to 150,000. And I started laughing because they said they're getting close to their goal. And they started 8 months ago or whatever the number. But it was a while ago. But
it was right after the movie.
But
I remember
they're
that.
Getting excited because they're up to 150,000. That's like millions and millions of people love that movie. And they're happy they got to 100. They're getting to 150,000. And yet there's an egg.
I would say there's a lot
egg.
More than that dislike it. It's just they're not
jumping onto
this.
But that's
petition.
What I'm saying. But why is 150 your goal? That's such a small percentage of anything. I mean, I was just going to say there's an egg on Instagram that's got 50 million likes. And they want 150 votes to negate part of Star Wars.
because they got 150,000 votes, so... You know, Kathleen Kennedy is just going to disallow or disavow.
That's a real part of that's such a small percentage of the fans out there.
Well, even if it was a million, even if it had a million signatures, they're not going to undo something that's already been made to satisfy some angry fanboys, you know, and or fangirls. Don't send me any letters.
Right. Exactly. But that's part of the art. Part of art is to anger people, and look at it's working.
And they're already got another movie on the way that's going to reference that movie, so they're not going to undo and then redo.
Yep,
it's ridiculous.
So see that we've started our podcast off with two ridiculous things now.
I know, right?
First one being most important that we still have two reviews. I just checked; it's still only two.
It's still only two.
Haven't gotten a third.
We started with four ridiculous things because you and I are here too. So
right, yeah, that's true.
So
you ready to get into some?
You can't leave us out.
You ready to get into some comics?
I'm always ready to talk comics, man.
All right, John. So, how do you recommend that I spend my money this week?
Well, DJ, let me tell you. So we're gonna start out like we always do with our speculator. Hot books for this week. So we're going to start with Guardians of the Galaxy #1. Of course, that came out today, relaunched with Donny Cates writing Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's got a pretty different lineup from what we're used to seeing with the Guardians of the Galaxy. But there's two variant covers. There's the Shaw wraparound cover and the Mike Diodato variant cover. Both of those are selling for about $7 today. So cover price is $4.99. So they're not really, you know, blowing doors off or anything, but they're selling for a couple dollars over cover price. War is Hell number one. There's a Young Guns variant for that. That's selling for about $8 today. One that I didn't have written down, but kind of goes along with the War is Hell. There was another book called Crypt of Shadows that came out, and I started getting calls for this after I put this list together. But there's a variant cover for Crypt of Shadows that's selling for about $10. But I had several people call today looking for that thing, so I do expect that one to climb a little bit higher as people are looking for it, because, you know, these are books like War is Hell, Crypt of Shadows. These are books that Marvel's putting out as part of their 80th anniversary celebration to kind of homage, you know, the older genres. Like, they don't do many war and horror comics anymore. So these are very underordered by, I would think, most stores. I only ordered 2 to 3 copies of each one of these and didn't order any of the variants. So I think it's just that these things are not out there in plentiful supply. And people are really looking for that Crypt of Shadows. And then the last one is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, actually also rebooted today. This moved over to Boom Comics, got the license to Buffy, and the first issue came out today. And there's two Mercado variants that were, they're called the Final Order Cutoff variants. They were only available through Final Order Cutoff date, and after that, they're not available anymore to order. They're selling for $10 a piece. So, you know, again, cover price on that's $3.99, so that's quite a bit over cover on day one. So if you can find any of those out there on your shelves, that's what I would be looking for as far as today's new releases. Jumping into the back issue books that we usually talk about, we're going to talk about two that we've already talked about once. The first one is Young Avengers number one. We talked about that a few weeks ago after the Endgame trailer came out, and we saw what some people thought might be Kate Bishop, and that book started to go up. There was some talk this week about Marvel developing a Young Avengers movie or TV show for the app. I'm actually not sure which one it was, but that's actually caused this book to spike in interest again, and it's still continuing to go up. Nice copies of this now are looking to be in the $50 to $60 range, you know, which is double what they were the last time we talked about them. So continues to go up as speculation abounds with the Avengers movie and what they're going to do going forward from there.
What have you heard on that? As have you, do you have any details on like movie, whether, do you have anything on that?
Any rumors? Like I said, other than there was an article I read this week where they said Marvel may be developing a Young Avengers property. I can't remember if it said movie or if it was for the app.
You think it could be imitated? Yeah, animated. Easy for me to say.
Well, again, it could be anything at this point.
Right.
It didn't really have a lot of details, and you know how these things are. It just could be a completely unfounded rumor.
Right.
But again, they're still speculating on Kate Bishop being part of, you know, the Avengers movies going forward. So I would expect this book to continue to be hot for quite some time until we know what's going on with that. And then the other one is White Widow number one, which we just talked about last week. It just came out last week. And last week we were talking about it selling in the $15 to $20 range. Now these things are sitting at about $40 on eBay. Again, this was a small press book that got a lot of attention, I guess, through the Kickstarter that introduced it. And lots of people are looking for this book. I had multiple calls this week of people looking for this thing. So if you could find White Widow, any cover on the shelves in your stores, I would grab it, because this thing is on fire, and it doesn't look like it's going to slow down anytime soon. So the next book is Amazing Spider-Man 212. This is the first appearance of Hydro Man. Again, this is completely brought on by the the Far From Home trailer that dropped last week, and I know we're probably going to talk about that a little bit later, but, you know, we get indications that Hydro Man is going to be part of that movie, and this book is seeing a lot of movement because of that trailer. So $70 to $80 is where you're going to find a nice copy of that book right now, and I don't expect it to go down anytime soon.
What were those going for before the trailer? Because that's got to be an older book anyway. I mean, that's, you know, it had to have some value anyways.
It's definitely an older book. You know, 212 was, you know,
70s?
Early 80s. Well, really? Early 80s, I would say, yeah. I mean, you know, Venom started, you know, was issue 298 to 300 is when Venom was introduced, and that was the early 90s. So,
yeah,
you know,
that was the early 80s. Venom was like 84-ish. And that was 250s to 250s, and then into the 290s was when the, was all the black suit and stuff, but that was in the early 80s. So,
right.
Yeah.
252 was the black suit. Yeah. So this was four years or so before that.
So, yeah, it could be late 70s, early 80s, something around that. But, yeah, still,
I mean,
that's old.
Yeah, and it was a $20 to $30 book at least before this, but, you know, it's definitely doubled since then. And again, I don't have any of these on my list, but I'd be trying to scoop up early Mysterio appearances too, even though he was known to be the villain, so those prices were already climbing.
Yeah.
But, you know, once again, they're going to continue to spike until the movie comes out, so you still got some room to pick them up if you can. Again, not necessarily something you're going to find in a back issue bin somewhere, though, because those early appearances are going to be on the wall somewhere at a comic store. And then the last thing is Mr. Miracle number 6. This is the first appearance of the female Furies, and they just, you know, DC is relaunching. I think we talked about it last week with the FOC, is there's a female Furies series coming up from DC, and that sparked some interest in this book too. Fine copies are running about $40 on eBay. So there's also a New Gods movie in the works at DC that's being developed, and, you know, I would expect to see some of these characters in that movie as well. So this book has some potential to continue to climb. This is a 70s book. Mr. Miracle was out early 70s, so it's pretty old. But it wasn't going for a ton of money, and you should be able to, I say you should, you could possibly find it still at a decent price if you go looking for it. And that's it as far as our speculator and hot books from this week. Moving into our final order cutoff, I actually don't have anything for DC this week. There's no variant covers really of note that I think are going to have speculator potential, and they don't have any new series listed on this week's final order cutoff. So jumping down into Marvel, again, no variant covers really to speak about, but there are two new series. There's the Hulk Varines, issue number 1. This is a 3-issue miniseries. This is Weapon H and the Hulk and Wolverine all having a big battle royale. So if that's your cup of tea, I would look at this. There's multiple covers available because it's a Marvel series, so there's probably 37 covers for it. As always, some of them will be open to order, and some of them will be gated behind different restrictions. So go into your store and get them to pull them up, and they can show you what's available. And then Wolverine and the Infinity Watch, issue number 1. This is also a 5-issue miniseries. And again, multiple covers available for this. This should be pretty popular, so stores, at least the main covers, should have plenty of copies on the shelf, because anything Wolverine, anytime you put the words Wolverine and Infinity Watch together on a comic book, you're going to sell a lot of copies of it.
Well,
so
just throw Infinity on anything right now and you're going to sell it.
Right. So you wouldn't have any trouble finding the main covers of this, but if you're interested in some of the variant covers, I would definitely go in before Monday and get the store to pull those orders up for you.
So before we move off of FOC, I actually had a conversation this week in one comic book store, and then I took that conversation to another comic book store. And the consensus is a lot of people, the majority of people, don't understand what FOC is.
You talking about customers or stores?
Customers. A lot of customers. So when I was talking to them, they said, well, maybe you should try explaining it, and, you know, can't hurt. So
we can go back to our earlier episodes where I have explained this in detail several times, but what they were saying was
there's a lot of people have the misconception that it's like, so the book comes out, say a book comes out next Wednesday, they a lot of people think that you have to have the order in by Monday to get your book on Wednesday. The first store I was talking, and I started talking with some of the jargon that obviously I've learned from you, and he's like, wait, what, huh? You know this stuff? I was like, yeah. were like, please explain it again. It can't hurt, because people think that it's like immediate, and it's not.
Yeah, I'll run it down one more time. So final order cutoff happens every Monday. Every Monday, let me back up even further. So we do an initial order every month for books that are coming out 2 months from now. So right now I'm ordering for March.
Right.
Okay. About 3 weeks before a book is scheduled to come out, we have the opportunity to adjust our quantities on order. This is called our final order cutoff. So every Monday by midnight, the final order cutoff is due. And those are books that are scheduled to come out 3 weeks later. 3 to 4 weeks later, because sometimes books will get delayed. So the books I'm talking about now are books you're going to see on the shelf in 3 to 4 weeks.
The end of February.
So, right. And the final order cutoff dates are actually pretty important in the sense that those are the final numbers that go to the publishers to print. That's what they're going to order for sell-through. Now, they do overprint slightly to cover damages and to cover reorders, but their numbers are very, very slim. I have gone in on Tuesday morning and tried to order something that was on FOC the day before, and they're already sold out and not available from the vendor. So if you get these orders in after that, you're now at the mercy of what the store ordered extra for their shelves.
And if they ordered it at all.
If they ordered it at all, and if they ordered that many extra for their shelves. So, and it's not uncommon for people to, you know, like I said, with my store, I think I've mentioned this before, but we use an app that people can download and use on their phones. And there is a tab on the app that shows what's coming in next week. And that is when the majority of my customers want to go in and start placing their orders for the stuff that's coming in next week. And that is way too late, because those orders are finalized, and in a lot of cases, if I don't have enough coming in, I can't get the orders in anymore. So I'm not trying to... I don't want this to come off like I'm talking about my customers like animals.
No, but you're not the only one.
It's training. But what I'm saying is it's trying to train the customers to know when they have to have these orders in by. Because, again, as a retailer, I order what I think I can sell and not a copy more. And if requests come in after the fact, we do the best we can as a store to fill those orders, but they're not always there. And that's why we talked about this now. This is going to go up on Thursday.
Yeah.
You have from Thursday to Monday to get into the store and order. And honestly, you guys that are listening to this and taking advantage of it are way ahead of 99% of the comic book customers out there, because nobody else is talking about this information and telling people to do this. And,
Right, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I was just having a conversation with one owner, and then I went to another store, and I was like, hey, let me ask you about this, and he was like, yep, that's the way it is. Just like you said, it's like people think it's next Wednesday, get your order in for Monday, so you can have your book on Wednesday, so, yeah.
Which, you know, you would think if you really stopped and slowed down and thought about that, do we think these books are being published on Tuesday? I mean, they're not at the printers on Tuesday.
Yeah, you know? But people don't. They don't get it.
But that's what I'm saying.
And I didn't either. So it's like, yeah. I understand it, and I get it now. But it's, you know, so hopefully, hopefully people are listening and can take advantage of the information. So
I hope so. That's why we're doing it.
Yep. So.
So, all right. And I guess, you know, moving on to our recommended reading, did you have any books that you wanted to cover this week? Or I've got a couple to talk about.
Yeah, all I have for this week is, I read the Batman 63. By Tom King. That's just part of the Nightmare series.
Mm-hmm.
And I've mentioned it before, so. But in that, at the end of it, we got a, what is it? Let me look. It's like a 4-to-5 page preview of the Wonder Twins.
Yep.
Did you see that?
I read it.
Did you read it?
I read the whole book. Yeah, I read the book. Okay. I read Batman and I read the Wonder Twins. So
yeah, Wonder Twins by Mark Russell, I think, was the writer. And the art was by Stephen Byrne. But so what did you think of the Wonder Twins as you were reading through it? Because, let me tell you mine first. So I'm reading through it and I'm like, oh, finally, a Wonder Comics that's actually going to be for the kids. Because at the beginning of it, and you know where I'm going with this.
Yep.
And it's like, so Jane is speaking at the Jane. What's her name?
Jaina.
Jane didn't sound right. So she's speaking at the beginning, and it's a school setting. This is all preview, so it's not really a spoiler or anything like that. So she's speaking at the beginning, and she's doing the school readings in a high school. And then you're like, oh, this could be for kids. This is pretty good. And then Zan went in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to mention it, but it was, if you read it, you'll see it. And it's not for little kids. Let's just put it that way.
Definitely not for kids. And we don't want to spoil anything. But I got the sense that when I was reading it, that isn't actually what he said isn't actually true. I think he said it because he realized that nobody was paying attention to him, and it was something he said that was outlandish to get people to look up and actually listen to what he was saying.
That's fine. But he also could have said, I have, like, a tiger in my car.
I know.
I got it. I get what he was doing, but it's of all the places you could have gone to get people's attention. You know,
they are high school students, so.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It looks like, again, we thought it was going to be for younger viewers or readers. It looks like it's more for high school students and above.
Which actually, honestly, doesn't differentiate them from anything else they already have on the shelves.
Right.
Because every book DC puts out, with the exception of their Vertigo line, are teen plus anyways.
Right.
So, to me, Wonder Comics is just teen plus. Like, there's no actual label attached to it. They're just comics. Like, I see nothing different between that and Young Justice. And I didn't get a chance to read Naomi today, but they all seem to me like they're just regular. They're just like all their other comics. I don't know what the imprint is actually supposed to signify. other than that, they're all headed up by Bendis.
Yeah.
Who actually isn't really involved in any of these books except for Young Justice. It's just the label that he's overseeing.
He must be overseeing other things outside of Wonder Comics as well, right?
Well, I think because he's got his own Jinx World line. Like, Bendis is doing a bunch for DC already because he's got his Jinx World line, which has Cover and Scarlet and I think that's it. Cover and Scarlet are two titles that he's doing under Jinx World, which is his creator-owned label being published by DC. And then he's writing the Superman titles for DC. And now he's overseeing Wonder Comics, and he's writing Young Justice for that. So, I mean, he's a pretty busy guy, but he's overseeing several different things at DC right now.
All right. Yeah, that's all I had.
Okay, well, I've got two books to recommend that I read today. The first one is from Image Comics. It's Oliver, number one. It's written by Gary Whitta and art by Derek Robertson. So this is a take off of the Charles Dickens story of Oliver. We've all heard of Oliver, although I'll be honest with you, I don't know anything about Oliver Twist. the only thing I know about Oliver Twist is that he's an orphan, and he says, "Thank you, sir, may I have another?" good that I don't know a lot about it, because this really has nothing to do with it, other than the fact that the character's name is Oliver, and he's an orphan. This is set up in a post, like everything else these days, this is set in a post-apocalyptic society, and you've got this young boy who's an orphan named Oliver. So
that's slightly different than the original.
Slightly different than the original. We didn't have post-apocalyptic London. But what I will say is that this
was actually pre-apocalyptic.
That's right, pre-apocalyptic London. But I really enjoyed this book, actually. I'll say the art is fantastic. Derek Robertson, he's done a few other things. You know, he did The Boys, he did Happy for DC, he did Transmetropolitan. But I wasn't really that familiar with any of those books, so I didn't know his art, really. But this was a beautiful book. Like, I really enjoyed looking through it for the art. And the story was good, too. I was really taken in by this. And, you know, I'm interested to see where it goes. You know, it doesn't look to be that different from any of the other post-apocalyptic worlds that we've seen before. And I don't want to kind of give away any of the secrets to it, because I don't want to spoil it. But I do recommend it. It was really a good book. And like I said, beautiful artwork. It was like a painted style art, and it was just really good looking. So,
how many are in that series? Do you know?
I don't know. Probably four. The Image series tend to run 4 to 5 issues, so I would imagine it's 4 or 5. Like I said, really recommend it. I would definitely go pick that up. And the second one, we touched on it briefly earlier, is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number one, from Boom Studios. The writer was Jordi Belair, and the artist was Dan Mora. So, again, going back, I was a big fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I really loved the TV show by Joss Whedon. And this book is kind of, like I said, it just came back to Boom Studios. It was being done by Dark Horse prior to this, so it's a complete reimagining of the Buffy story. And this is basically taking place, seems to be taking place the same time the TV show would have taken place. You know, she's in high school, she's just meeting Willow and Xander. And this was really good. It was really fun. I liked it a lot. The artwork, it really kind of, it captured the characters without directly trying to draw them to look like, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar or, now the other girl's name has gone out of my head, but Willow. I can't think of the actress's name, but they definitely resemble these characters, and you know exactly who they are. And like I said, this was a lot of fun, and I look forward to reading this going forward. This, I believe, is an ongoing series from Boom. So if you're a Buffy fan, I recommend it. If you weren't a Buffy fan and you don't know anything about Buffy,
that's what I was just going to ask, because I never watched the show.
You don't need to have. Like, okay. Everything you need to know was introduced in this story, in this issue. So you don't feel like you were missing anything if you didn't watch the show. But if you did watch it, there's a lot of nods and, you know, a lot of things that you can call back that are reminiscent of the show. And this series is overseen by Joss Whedon. So, you know, it's cool. Definitely, yeah, it's definitely, you know, the way he would want it to be. So pick up Buffy, pick up Oliver. They were both great reads this week.
Oh, and before we get off recommended reading, we never actually mentioned our recommendation for Wonder Twins. We just talked about it. What did you think of it?
I actually liked it. I was curious to see. I don't think that the preview that we saw is actually going to be in the first few pages of the book that we get, because it's said to be continued in Wonder Twins number one.
Right.
So I'm not sure if number one is actually going to pick up where we left off, or if it's going to.
Well, I think they were trying to give you the tone
back in. But yeah,
and they were trying to, you know, you got to see the way that the artwork reminded me a lot of Young Justice.
Yeah.
The same drawing style of both the show and the comic. And then, of course, the writing style. And you got to see really, you know, what age group it would be good for and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. You know, we mentioned it before, you know, being both of us growing up in the 70s, we know these characters from the Super Friends cartoons. But, you know, you never got any deep backstory or any, you know, really right. any history on these characters. I already feel like I know more about those two characters after five pages than I knew from every episode of the Super Friends that we ever watched.
Yeah.
So.
No, but I liked it. I thought it was funny that, I mean, Flash shows up in the high school.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about, honestly.
I don't either.
I still don't know what that was about.
It was like, what is it? We need a panel with a Justice Leaguer in there.
Yeah.
and, you know, but it looks like it's going to be really good. I like the preview, but like you said, it doesn't really tell any kind of a story that's going to be coming up, I don't think. It's right. just, I think, to give you a taste of it. So, but yeah, I definitely, I mean, the whole, if you're not already reading the Batman Nightmare series, you should. And that's another reason to pick up that book right there, because you have that at the end. It's pretty good.
Well, yeah, I know we didn't really touch on the Batman part of the book at all, but it was a great issue, I thought. It really, really liked it a lot.
It's the first of the three nightmares where you actually get into where they start to expose what's going on.
Right, right. You definitely have, by the end of this one, you have more of a sense of what's happening. The only thing that confuses me a little bit is that the next issue starts the Batman and Flash 4-issue crossover. So
yeah,
we're not wrapped up with this story. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm hoping that they don't postpone it for 3 issues while we're doing this crossover. But I also don't know how this actually ties into...
Tom King has been tweeting out about it since the beginning, so I think the crossover is... I saw that. That's not a separate crossover?
No, it's episode... I mean, not episode. It's issue 64 and 65 of Batman, and then like 62 and 63 of Flash or something. I don't think they're on the exact same numbering, but they're close. So, no, it's just like the button, when they did the button last year, it was a 4-issue story that had 2 issues of Batman and 2 issues of Flash.
Right.
And this is going to be the same. And, you know, a lot, and this is, the crossover is spinning out of the Heroes in Crisis story. So, I don't know how that wraps up what's going on with Batman at the end of this issue. So I'm hoping it's not like an interlude and we're going to be put off for basically 3 issues.
It's Batman 64, Flash 64. But I'm looking at it right now, the ad for it that was in the last...
It's at the back of Batman.
Is it at the... Okay, so I'm looking... I actually took a picture of it from the last issue. I'm looking at it on my phone, but it's written by Joshua Williamson. Did you say that already?
No, but yeah, it's not even a Tom King story.
No, so I'm wondering, do you think it's just in the book? Kind of like Wonder Twins was at the end of this, or?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Like I said, I'm afraid it's just going to be like an interlude. Like, it's just going to be cut in, and the story we're reading is going to be put on hold for a couple of issues. I don't know for sure, obviously, till I get the next one, but...
But this
story that we're in with Batman... It does not lend itself to a crossover with the Flash.
No.
You know, it's definitely something...
Well, it is nightmares. You don't know.
Yeah, but no spoilers. You know, Batman hasn't come out of the situation he's in. So,
right. It's a four part. Yeah, that's interesting because it's.
But if that's the case, what a horrible editorial decision by DC. Like, well, I don't know that that's the case, but if that happens, it's like, you guys planned this stuff. You couldn't have just waited till issue 65 and wrapped up the story you were in?
Yeah, but
it seems really strange to me.
What's weird is, like I said, like, Tom King, he tweeted out a while ago. I swear I saved the tweet. Let me look. And he listed every single issue. With the, here it is, 61, 62, 60, nope, here we go. Okay, it is gonna, so.
It's gonna skip.
It's gonna skip. So, 61, 62, and 63, he listed all the artists that are doing the work, and right. Then it goes 66, 67, 68, 69. So, right. We come back to it.
I go back to my statement. What a horrible editorial decision by DC. It's like, how could you let that – honestly, how can you let that happen? If you're Dan DiDio or Jim Lee and you're listening to this podcast right now, how could you let that happen?
I'll tell you how. I'll tell you.
You literally have the ability to schedule these things exactly the way you want them to come out. So
– right. But here's
– I don't know.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's like –
Don't defend him, Mr. Positivity. It's stupid.
Why? No, because that's the thing is I can defend him, and just look at it this way: we're hooked.
We're already hooked.
Exactly. So what's
honestly,
the problem?
If you're reading Batman, you're buying all these issues anyways.
Correct.
It doesn't matter.
But that's the thing. But it's like, for some people that aren't reading it, and we're sitting here recommending the Nightmare series because it is really good. So people are going to pick that up. But here in the middle, you also get a crossover with the Heroes in Crisis. And it's
look, the only thing I can say to justify it is that it must impact Heroes in Crisis.
Well, it does.
And
it
must have to come out before a certain issue of Heroes comes out. And that's the only thing in my mind that justifies this scheduling is if they're trying to keep Heroes on schedule and we need to know what happens here first.
Right.
If that's not the case, then there's no way to justify doing that because it's just stupid to interrupt the story in the middle like that to tell a different story. It was like when we talked about Titans a few weeks ago, how they have that episode 9
right
after episode 8 when you don't want episode 9, you want episode 10 because, you know, the storyline was broken up for a whole week and even that would seem silly. So.
But it does say that it's a tie-in event beginning in February, and it says it has the Heroes in Crisis logo like written out right above
it. Well, no,
it's definitely a hero story.
We knew that. I mean, I knew that it was a Heroes tie-in. So that's the only way to justify it is if it impacts the Heroes storyline. So it must impact it somewhat dramatically.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't matter.
Well, plus they're just trying to get you to buy other books.
Right.
You know, if you're reading the Heroes in Crisis series, now you have to go and buy the Batman and Flash series. I mean, it's all, you know, it's all a game. And I get it.
Well, it's all marketing.
To be honest, that's another – yeah, exactly. And I have another topic we'll talk about in a little bit. Actually, we could just go right into it. That's the Jimmy Palmiotti topic that I was talking about. So let me see. Let me pull up the tweet. So this tweet is from back in November. All right?
Current events.
Yeah, but it's not going to change anything. And I've had this in my notes since then. It just hasn't come up. We've had topics and stuff.
Just giving you a hard time.
Man. I know. That's fine. You know, we like to stay current.
Right.
Happy 4th of July.
We're topical.
Yeah. So, anyways, let me read that. This is a little bit long. Let me try to get through this. So, basically, it's pertaining to stuff like this. This is the tweet. In at J. Palmiotti is his Twitter handle. So, as traditional superhero comics sell less and less, the format, presentation, and page count will have to change. The monthly comic is a thing that makes big companies money twice on the same book. I would much rather have my titles four times a year in 64-page hardcover, oversized editions with better paper and at a price that makes sense with the rest of the book market. people by nature look at comic books and their disposable presentation and are not drawn to them. As well, the frequency adds an alienation to the business for new readers. How can someone new to the field keep up when books are put out in such numbers? As well, the mission statements in these books should be character consistency. Until you can bring in the new audience, the main character should be working in a familiar way that is on character. It goes on. But
okay.
I mean, it goes on for a little bit here. But the overall point is kind of stuff like this. They need to be doing a better job. Do you get the gist of what we're doing?
Are you ready for me to go?
Yeah.
Okay, so the way you grow new readership for comic books is to bring in the youngest generation, right? Older people are not where you grow the readership. They're already your readers. So you're targeting kids and young people.
Can I add one thing to that comes up later? He mentioned later on in another tweet. There's like 10 tweets here for him to get this information out. But he mentioned handing out a comic book when we go to the movies. They should incorporate that into it. That could potentially bring it because the movies are so big. Imagine you come out of a Spider-Man movie and you get a free comic with that. And you could work that into the studio. That would work, and that would boost both sides.
Okay,
an idea, but go ahead.
But given that free comic book away to the kid doesn't help the local comic book store, because that is not coming from the local comic book store. It doesn't drive that young kid into the local comic book store.
Or an adult. I was saying you hand it to an adult and maybe he wants to go and get another one.
Right.
That's all I'm thinking.
And I get that, and I'm all for handouts at the movies. That's great. But again, going back to my point is, and even he mentioned it, you know, he talked about the readership declining and the sales declining, and you increase these things by getting young kids into reading comics, because young kids now are more into electronics. Like, comics are struggling because everything now is on a tablet or on a phone, and that's where younger kids are used to consuming their media. But in order for this to grow, you have to get the young kids. So try selling a $40 graphic novel. Try selling the idea of that to the parent of that kid. It's like, hey, let's get your kid into reading comics. Spend $40. That's not going to bring in
right.
these young kids. You need to have a $2.99 or a $3.99 entry point for these kids to get into reading comics.
Right.
So.
What's funny is I was wondering I didn't want to tell you about it. I was wondering what your opinion would be, and it sounds like we have the same opinion. I understand what he's saying. I'm not necessarily against what he's saying, but at the same time, you have to have that entry level. And the one other thing that I would add, and you and I talk about this a lot, is it's the artwork. How many comics did we buy when we were younger? We'd buy a one-off just because we liked the cover.
Right.
And it's...
Half the speculator books we talk about every week are based on just the cover art.
Right.
Of that book and not the contents.
I think instead of giving in and just saying, oh, we should just go to a different format and just do bigger books less frequently, why don't we try, like... there's got to be other ways to get this art out there to people, to encourage people to. I mean, I don't know. I just don't like the idea of going away from the small book.
Well, the other part of that too is, again, that circumvents the local comic store altogether, because once these things are collected into hardbound. Or, I mean, they could be soft cover books, but I mean, once they're brought into collections and
trades.
Sold at a premium, then you go to your Barnes and Nobles, you go to your Amazons, you go to all these other booksellers, and there's no reason for anybody to go into their local comic book store anymore, because you could pick up these books when you're at the mall, or
right.
you could pick them up again on Amazon. People are already doing that. There's lots of people that forego weekly comics or monthly comics and just wait for the trades anyways. But again, that's what's helping to contribute to the decline of comic book readership. The other way to increase comic book readership, quite honestly, is to put out better product. There is such a glut of terrible comics on the shelf these days that are put out by both of their big companies. DC is guilty. Marvel is way more so. Marvel is the worst publisher going right now when it comes to being friendly to local comics.
Bright side.
Hey,
I know.
Put up your controversy bell if you want. But
Controversy.
No, I'm not bashing Marvel, and I'm not going to get into this because we've talked about it on other episodes before. But there is just way too many filler and terrible comics on the shelf right now. And I'll say one more thing about the Marvel publishings, and then I'll let it drop. Marvel just did a 10-issue weekly X-Men series, which is already so predatory on the consumer, to put out a $4 weekly comic book. But they go now into issue 11, and their series turns monthly, and it's going to go ongoing. But based on the issue 10 and what happened in that issue, they have now spurned off 6 different 4-issue miniseries that are tying into the X-Men that are getting ready to start over the next couple of weeks. 6 4-issue miniseries titled X-Man something. It's ridiculous. And they're all, I mean, I hate to say it because I own a comic book store and I make my living selling comics. They're all garbage comics. They don't have anything to do with the story. When Wolverine came back, the Returnful Wolverine, they also did 4 4-issue miniseries revolved around the return of Wolverine. They were all garbage, and not one of them actually had anything to do with Wolverine. He didn't even appear in any of them. Jeez. So it's just, honestly, it's predatory publishing practices. And until we put better content on the shelf, that's what's going to help grow readers.
Well, I think there is good content. You just have to sift through it. Yeah, right. I know what you're saying, but
I'm not saying there isn't good content. There is a lot of great content. But when you walk in and you look at a new comic book wall in a store, it's overwhelming. Because if I go in and I want to read X-Men 3 weeks from now, I'm going to have X-Men number 12 on the shelf, and I'm going to have X-Man A number 1, X-Man B number 3, X-Man C number 2, X-Man D number 4. You know,
right.
What am I looking at on this shelf? I don't even know, as a new reader, what to read. And if I'm like the grandpa and I want to come in and buy my grandson an X-Men comic, I don't know what to buy because there's 7 different X-Men books on the shelf.
Right.
And at the same time.
Right. And that's the hardest part. But at the same time, in a way, that's also the fun part. So, and part of what he says in his tweets is it's overwhelming for new people. Now, I had been out of comics for years. And when I went to my first Comic-Con, I was petrified because I didn't know what to talk about. I walked up to booths and they're like, what do you like? And I'm like, and I'm in my 40s at the time,
right.
And I'm like, and I was nervous. So I can imagine somebody new coming to it. It's overwhelming. There's so much product. You don't know what to do. But the good news is it is like when we were younger, you went into a store and you ask. They want to talk to you. That's
of course.
That's what, and like the compliments we get about this podcast, it is like, and I'm not trying to toot our horn, but it is. It's like going into a store. The conversations you and I have are the exact same conversations I have in a store, and the same conversations I observe in a store. It's not just me. It's little kids. I've had conversations with little kids just standing there. And that's the fun of going into a comic book store.
Right. But even as a store owner who, like I said, I love to talk. I talk comics all day long, 5 days a week with people coming into the store. But the difference is, and again, I'm not trying to toot DC's horn and knock Marvel in any way. But, you know, the Aquaman movie is big right now. Spoiler alert.
It is?
Yeah. It's
does
a thing.
Does that take place in the ocean?
It does.
And wearing jeans.
But you know what's good about it is when the kid walks into the store looking for the Aquaman comic, there's one Aquaman comic on the shelf. You know, I mean,
right.
There's more than one issue, but there's one title, this one Aquaman book. And I can keep up with that, and I can talk to you about that Aquaman book. The flip side is, I don't have time to read 7 different X-Men comics every week. There's just a finite amount of time to read, and so what I do is I don't read any of them, because I have other things to read. So when you want to ask me about those books, I can't tell you any more than anybody else, because I don't know. I haven't read them. I can't keep up with them. I have a hard enough time keeping up with the books I try to read every week as it is. I don't have time to read 7 X-Men titles that I'm really not that interested in.
Right.
Because, but you know, they just don't have anything.
Somebody is.
Some people are, yes, and they will sell. Don't get me wrong. They'll sell, and I'll sell lots of copies of them because people like the X-Men. But what else could I be selling? You know, if they're buying that X-Men book, that means they're not picking up Oliver or Buffy the Vampire. They're not picking up something that's a great story, that's a great book. But they can't get to it because they're spending $30 on X-Men titles every week. I don't know. Like I said, there's definitely good stuff that's happening on the shelves, but you have to search through a lot of stuff that's very mediocre and not that good to find it a lot of times. And I just don't think that's how you grow. You don't grow your readers by confusing them. You know, it's like, I know I've talked about this before, too. When the last Avengers movie came out, you know, as they do, people go to see it, and then they come into the store and they want to read Avengers comic books.
Right.
But at that time, the Avengers comic book that was on the shelf didn't resemble anything they saw in that movie.
Right.
Jane Foster was Thor. Riri Williams was Iron Man. You know, Sam Wilson was Captain America. So
and people are disappointed.
Nothing in that book resembled what they just saw in the theaters. And it was – I've got old Avengers comics, and they can definitely go to the back issues, and I can find them plenty of Avengers comics with, you know, all the characters that they're looking for. But that makes it harder. You know, like your current offerings should resemble – what people are looking for if you're trying to grow these new readers.
So that's where I wonder if DC is actually doing a better job, because I don't know if Marvel isn't doing this. It's just not being exposed. Whereas with the DC Universe, you get to see a lot. They have a DC Daily is dedicated. It's a news channel, basically. It's a news show on their comic books. So we're privy to a lot more information than you are with Marvel. So maybe it's just, you know, recency bias because we get to see all this and Marvel hasn't come out with anything yet. But it does seem like their entire world is being managed together, whereas Marvel seems to be obviously on the outside looking in, not even looking in. We're literally on the outside. We have no idea what's going on, and everything you're saying is true. It doesn't seem like anything is working together at Marvel. Their movies, very successful, but their comics are scattered. There's even the latest Spider-Man. It has nothing to do with anything in the movies. It has, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm enjoying the books, but you're right. It's when Far From Home comes out, people are going to, you know, maybe it'll spurn some interest and but people won't be able to find anything on that. There won't be a continuation. There won't be anything familiar.
Well, I mean, DC is not necessarily mirroring what they're doing in their movies story-wise either.
No, but it's more controlled.
But the characters are familiar, whereas, like, they'll still be able to come in and find a Spider-Man book with Peter Parker in it, and that's fine.
Well, look at just going back to Aquaman. What they did with the books is they gradually changed them to look like Jason Momoa. You know what I mean? The books now start. He's got the longer hair. He's kind of looks like him a little bit more. I actually think I saw somewhere on Twitter recently that they said that Tony Stark or Robert Downey Jr. changed the face of Tony Stark in the comics. And I didn't think so. I thought I always imagined he was pretty close to what they put in the movies. You know what I mean? When I was younger, I thought that's what Tony Stark looked like anyways.
He did. I don't know if that's the case either. Yeah,
I thought that was an inaccurate assessment.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Tony does resemble Robert Downey Jr. to some degree, but he still looks like he's always looked.
That's what I mean.
He's always been that, you know.
Now, Nick Fury.
Well, Nick Fury, they changed somewhat.
And they complete somewhat, yeah. So, but they changed. But now in the books, it matches the movies.
Right. Well, like I said, Marvel does a great job. They've got a very cohesive story going on in their cinematic and their TV properties. They're just not jiving with the comic books as much as I think they should. But even that, all that being said, if they were just putting better product on the shelves, it wouldn't even, like, they can still be somewhat different. Like, you could still have Jane Foster Thor, or you could still have, you know, they do still have Riri Williams. You know, they have Ironheart. She has her own title now. But the familiar character should still be there somewhere. Like, there was no Thor. I mean, Thor Odinson wasn't even around for a while, and you have a Thor movie, and people come in looking for Thor, and there's not even, this character doesn't even have a book
right
on the shelves.
You have to go back to the old stuff,
right? So that's where I think you need to have, like, there's room for other things, other properties, and other characters to exist, but the familiar character should still be there somewhere.
Right.
You should still be able to point somebody to that and say, well, this is, you know, this is what you're looking for, without having to, you know, kind of thumb through 25 different titles trying to find, you know, trying to find what people are after.
Right. All right. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if that goes back to Jimmy Palmiotti's tweet or not.
Well, but it kind of does. It does. It does. It's just about content, how they're distributing it. And, you know, I mean, we started off with the Batman and the Flash, and, you know, it does. That's why I brought it. I was going to save that for the end because I knew we would get into a discussion about it.
Right.
I mean,
I think trades and graphic novels are great for putting old and difficult to find content back on the shelves for people to read. You know, nobody can afford to go pick up Amazing Fantasy 15 and Spider-Man 1-10, you know,
right,
and read those stories.
Right.
That's where you want your graphic novels to be. You know, when you want to get Secret Wars or the Clone Wars, and you want to get all these old stories, that's what graphic novels are great for. I don't want to see them replacing, you know, monthly comics. I don't think that is the way to to grow.
I think we share that opinion. I think that would actually kill comic books.
I think it would definitely kill comics. It would definitely kill the local comic book store, because then there'd be no reason for people to actually walk through those doors.
Right. And then where would the conversation be? Like, oh, did you see the cover on page, you know, 52?
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like that's some of the stuff. I want them to work harder. I want them to have to, like, come up with creative covers to grab me. I want that stuff. And yeah, there's going to be some garbage out there, but that's part of that's part of the fun. Is going into the store and sifting through and figuring out what you like and what you don't like. And I get it. It's intimidating. But a lot of things in life are intimidating. Your first job's intimidating, but it doesn't mean you don't go get one.
Right.
You know, and it's, I just think it's definitely worth it. So, all right, let's move on to something more fun.
Okay.
We never talked about Spider-Man Far From Home trailer. Did you see it?
I did see it.
You did?
I did.
What'd you think?
I think it looks great.
Okay, I'm moving
well,
on.
I mean, I think it looks great. I mean, I don't know what else you want me to say. I'm excited to see the movie.
What'd you think of Mysterio?
I mean, yeah. I thought he looked awesome. What I hope doesn't happen is exactly what happened in that trailer, is that you cast somebody like Jake Gyllenhaal, you're not going to hide him behind the fishbowl mask for the entire movie.
No.
I don't want to see him running around without his mask on for the entire movie. I want the big fishbowl head, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, even in the trailer, it's like he had it on for 5 seconds, and then it was just him running around with his face hanging out.
Well, I think it'll be a lot like Iron Man. When he goes into battle, the thing will come on. When he has to talk to you, the thing will come off.
Right.
You know, I mean, Star-Lord, Iron Man, any of them. It's, you know, even Captain Marvel, same thing.
Yeah.
I love all the speculation. I love all everything about it. I know you've at times have said in the past, like, you don't pay attention to them. You don't like to see too many trailers.
Well, I wouldn't have even watched this one if I didn't stumble across it. You know, it's kind of forced on me. But I don't like to watch trailers, and I probably won't watch another one now that I've seen this one.
That was the discussion I wanted to have, is because not so much about the trailer and what it was, because I've had those. It's been a couple weeks, but I've had a couple of conversations on Twitter with people, and a couple of people actually said, I wish they never came out with the trailer. They think it has too many spoilers for Endgame. Wait till after Endgame. And my opinion is, that's the fun. It's like all of these trailers are part of the game. You and I have talked about this in the past, and I've said, it's like, how many trailers have we seen, and then you go to the movies, and half of the trailer was misleading you, or flat out not even in the movie. You know, like Hulk and Infinity War,
right,
was barely there. So, to me, the trailers have become part of the game, part of the fun. You know, it's like, and if you don't take part in that, then all you're getting is, yeah, you get to see the movie. But it's like, a lot of times I'll see a movie and be like, oh, they went in a completely different direction, and the reason I was shocked is because I was thinking a different way because of the trailer.
Right. You and I have had this conversation before. I mean, that's fine. You know, we both have our different ways of at it. But the only thing I would say is that anybody that's afraid that it spoiled Endgame, I mean, again, did anybody not think Spider-Man was coming back? Like, nobody thought Spider-Man was going to be dead.
Right.
Or that he's not coming back.
Or what about all the speculation on the timeline of when this takes place? Just the trailer coming out has sparked a whole bunch of conversation on, does this take place before Infinity War? Does it take place after? I actually tweeted out to somebody.
Well, we've already known. Kevin Feige told us a year ago. I mean, everybody's already known.
And you believe him?
Of course I believe him. What I've heard and what they've supposedly come out and said is that the events of this movie take place after Endgame, but also before the events of Infinity War.
Right.
So we know there's time stones in play.
Well, did you see my tweet?
I mean, I see a million of them. So
the one where I said, the movie is gonna, he's gonna be on they're gonna end the movie with him on the bus on his way back to New York. Like, so the beginning of Infinity War was him coming back from England, from Europe, right? And then he had to get out. But at the end of Endgame, or at the end of Far From Home, he's going to be on the bus again, and he won't have to get out of the bus. They will have taken care of the issue, so he won't. You know what I mean? So here we go. That's how they both take place. And I've seen other people have made the same speculation. And I've seen people, oh, I don't like that idea. It's like, you know, it makes it like Infinity War never happened. But that's not the case. That's how they solved it. You have the time stones. You have all these different things you could do. So who knows what's going to happen. The overall point, that's what this part is fun. If they don't put that trailer out, we're not having these conversations.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I heard this week, too, I was listening to another podcast, and this came into play also. If you go back to the Endgame trailer, the part where Scott Lang comes back and he's ringing the doorbell, and Steve makes the comment,
right,
when did this, is this right now, or...
And we laughed at him.
And we laughed at it, but now you get the sense that a lot of that movie is going to be them trying to figure out when things are taking place, because I have a feeling they're going to be lots of shifting back and forth through
right.
time. So that kind of throwaway line may not really be a throwaway line after all.
Oh, no.
Because it's goes back to what we're probably going to see through that whole movie. So
I saw a huge breakdown on that on YouTube and how it's like that – I can't remember the exact times and everything on it, but it was, they said that could have been taking place years and years ago. And they're like, who is this guy? What is that now? Where is,
right.
you know, or is that a tape? You know, they right. don't know. But yeah, it's, and again, all of these trailers, they're giving us these little bits and pieces and we're trying to piece stuff together. And it's like, how is that not fun?
Right.
And then to just come out and say, oh, they shouldn't have put it out. Well, if you don't want it out, don't watch it. Nobody
right.
made you watch it.
Well, that's the thing, right.
But
just
let us
away,
watch it and
just
have
stay
fun
away
with
from it.
It.
If you don't want it, then like me, just
right.
don't watch it. Like
right.
I avoid most of them. You know, you get exposed to certain things here and there because you just can't help it. But, you know, if it comes on TV during a commercial, I'll fast forward through it or I'll get up and walk out of the room if I don't want to see it.
Right.
You know, the only time I really get forced to watch them is if I'm actually at a movie and it's the trailers.
Right.
Because, you know, obviously I'm not going to get up and walk out of the theater or, you know, sit there with my hands over my eyes and my ears and all that stuff. But you know, otherwise I just don't watch them. So, right, if you don't want to see it, just
yeah.
don't watch it. Don't take it. I don't say that it shouldn't exist just because I don't want to see it.
Right. I don't like lima beans, but the store should still sell them.
Right. You know, so, yeah, I'm all for them. They can put out as many trailers as they want. I just choose to try to avoid most of them. But you know, I like to see a little bit. That's why I'll usually watch the first trailer just so I can get a feel for what it's going to look, you know, what the movie's going to look like. And then I try to stay away from it. So I'm happy watching this trailer, and I was glad I saw it. But, you know, like I said, I'll try to stay away from the rest of them.
Well, I'm wondering now. You wonder what's going to be at the
Although,
end of Endgame.
And honestly, doing this podcast now, I'm almost forced to watch more of them than I would hope to, because we talk about them.
Right.
So,
sorry.
You know, I have to kind of forego what I normally
would
be doing.
Right.
You're right. Woe is me. I have to watch trailers.
Yeah. Hang out in a comic book store all day and I'm forcing you to watch trailers.
Right. But you know what I'm saying. It's like I'm exposing more than I would normally just because we have discussions about them. So.
Right. Yeah. So. All right. Saw the Oscars, right?
Well,
Black Panther.
I saw the nomination, for Black Panther.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, not surprised. I mean, although I say not surprised, I am a little bit surprised. I'm not saying it's not deserving, but was Infinity War not deserving then? You know, I don't know that it's a better movie than Infinity War. So,
well, I think, as far as movies go, I think Black Panther is closer to being a, I don't know, how do you put it? Like a movie. You know, like Infinity War is a, that's a comic book extravaganza. Really.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas Black Panther is, it's a comic book movie. It's more comic booky than any of the Dark Knight movies. And the Christopher Nolan trilogy, but it's probably the closest we've had to that type of a story, but still holding the comic book feel. You know what I mean?
Well, I do. I mean, it's a little more drama than...
There was a lot of talk about the Christopher Nolan movies being nominated, but back then, I want to say, weren't the Christopher Nolan movies part of the reason they increased it from 5 to 10? Because you can
you'd make a liar out of me. I don't know. I don't follow him that closely, to be honest with you.
There was so much talk back then about not just the Christopher Nolan movies, but other movies that were on the fringe that you really wanted to see get nominated for Best Picture. So what the Academy did is they increased it from 5 nominations to the possible 10. You don't have to have 10, but if they felt that the movie should be nominated, you could still nominate a movie. So right. that's why you get up to 10 now. And I want to say, if I remember right, Christopher Nolan's movies were part of that thinking. Like, those movies probably would have been nominated if they were 10 back then. I might be wrong. Maybe it was even before then and they didn't, but I know that's why they increased it anyways, to get more talk. And with that, I do think it deserves to be nominated. I can see why, and I personally like Infinity War to me is it's a more entertaining movie. It's just, it encapsulates 10 years of movie making. You know what I mean? It's the first movie that gets us to coming up in this April, you know? But that's different than a movie. That's different than being an Oscar caliber movie. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, here's a funny thought. How about if we make the Oscars the movies that made the most money? So,
well, then you don't need the Oscars. You just go with that.
Right, but honestly, right? Isn't the best movie of the year the one that the most people paid money to go see? Like,
not necessarily.
But you know what I'm getting at? It's
Avengers:
Infinity War made billion plus. You know, I don't know how many billions of dollars it made, but lots of people went to go see that movie. So why are we nominating a movie that made $8 in the theater? You know, it's like,
because it's art.
I understand it's art, but honestly, the favorite movie is the one that the most people paid money to go and see. That should be, it really should be cut and dry. If you ask me, but
not really. Cause I just look at it. But that's different than that. That's not art though. That's marketing. You know what I mean? It's like,
no amount of marketing is going to make me go see a movie I didn't want to go see.
But it doesn't mean it's not a great movie.
No, but
you might not have seen it.
You
might not want to see it. But
what I'm saying is, people didn't necessarily, all those people didn't rush out to see Avengers: Infinity War because the commercial told them to. Like, they were already going.
Right.
You know? So, no marketing in the world. Look at all the marketing that they put into the Mortal Engines, and nobody went to see that movie. Marketing doesn't get box office returns.
Right. But I'll use your statement against you then. Why? Just because a bunch of people went to see it, regardless of what was going to happen, 10 years of movie making got people in the door, doesn't mean it was a great movie. It was a great movie, but that doesn't make it a great movie. That just gets the people in the doors. You got their dollars. They came in droves, and there you go. You can't go by dollars.
To me, the best movie of the year is the one that made the most money. That's what it is. So, I don't know. I mean, I like movies. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for seeing low budget movies, and I'm not saying they're not good. There's great movies out there, but like, if we're giving awards to the industry, should be the top performers, right? It should be the movies that brought money and it put people in the seats and got people into the theaters to see them.
Yeah, but then you don't have... Then where's the suspense of the Oscars? You already know. You don't even have it. You're just like, hey, everybody check out the receipts. It's like, you know, the idea is, you know, art's in the eye of the beholder. So there you go. People are going to vote on it, and then we don't know. Is Black Panther going to win? Who's going to win Best Picture?
To me, it's a more accurate system than somebody else telling me what they think is the best movie, because how are they to know? It's, again, that's arbitrary. To me, that's way more arbitrary than just having a cut and dried system. You know, because now you've got three people sitting there telling me what their opinion of the best movie is.
Everybody's getting a glimpse of us playing Scruples in high school.
I can't tell you the last Oscar-winning movie that I actually thought was a good movie, you know?
Right.
So they're not getting my dollars just because...
We aren't movie critics. We're comic book guys.
Three old people in a room said it was a good movie.
I think it's more than three people make up the Academy.
Whatever.
So,
anyway... You can cut that all out if you want.
No way. I'm leaving it.
Strike that from the record.
That's funny. That's funny.
The jury will disregard all those previous statements.
All right. Let's end on this. You caught up on Flash and Arrowverse at all?
Yep.
What do you think? No spoilers.
I'm not sure I like where Green Arrow is going right now. Flash, I'm happy with. I think the story's been pretty good. Since they've come back, though, like the Green Arrow episode this week, I didn't love it.
That's awesome. I'm the same way. I didn't know what to say. I sat down, I watched Arrow yesterday morning. I had both Flashes I had last week's Flash and this week's Flash. I watched them both today. But the first show I watched back from their winter break was Arrow.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that opening scene, the acting, the special effects. I was like, man, this Arrowverse CW stuff is really low budget. But here's the thing. I didn't know. It's like, I know I like the show. I know I like the CW, you know? So I was like, I was kind of disappointed in myself. I was like, wait a minute. Am I getting to be one of those people like, this is cheap? But it is cheap. But it doesn't mean it's... Because here's the thing. By the end of the show, I was back. I think what happened was because of the break, and I thought the crossover was really good. I had a really good time with that. I watched it a couple times since. But it is cheesy. It is CW budget or whatever you want to call it. But by the end of the show, it was pretty good. I was back. I'm looking forward to next week. I agree with you, though, that
Flash, for me,
Flash is much better. I'm having a much better time with Flash this year. Personally, I think this is one of the more fun years because I actually got worked up in years past, like, how are they going to beat this villain? You know, you're like, but this year seems like the villain doesn't seem as detrimental to their world. It seems like just, but the stories that are coming off of it, the story with his daughter, with Nora and all this, I really like where this is going. It's very intriguing, very mystery-like.
Right.
Not so much dangerous, just a lot of mystery. I like that in The Flash this season.
Yeah, Flash has been a lot of fun. Like I said, I don't necessarily think, for me, it wasn't, it's not budgetary effects issues and things like that that are bugging me with Green Arrow. And again, I know we're not talking spoilers at all, so I don't want to go into it too much, but I don't like the direction of the story. Like, I didn't like what they did with Renee.
Me neither.
At all. Nope. I'll leave it at that.
I'll say one word. Redundant.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I don't like that at all. I didn't really like Emiko a whole lot. Although I'm glad we finally know who she is. Although again, comic read, like we've known who she was, all along. But now we finally have a name, and we know who she is.
Well, they know who she is now.
They know
instead
who she
of that,
is. Right.
Instead of the walking around and going, who could it be? Who is this? Who is this? And you do that for 7 weeks.
Exactly. I am Danny Rand, the Immortal Iron Fist. But I don't know. Like, I don't like all the flash, the time jumping back and forth. For a while, I didn't even know that we had time jumped. I was like, I don't even know what's going on.
It was really
confusing.
I'm really confused with the time jump forward. That's not a spoiler. If you're not watching the show, you don't care anyways. If you've been watching, you know they're jumping forward this season. So I'm really confused with that because you're jumping forward and you're like, is this where the show's going to end up?
Right.
Because it's like when you jump forward like that, well, now you know, like, who lives and who dies and, like, anything that happens in present day, you're like, well, he can't get hurt here.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is it one of a possible future? Is this the future? Is it? We don't know. And I don't know. Like I said,
is it our Earth?
Right. Who even knows?
Yeah, they could solve it with that because we know that's coming up next fall.
Right. We have Crisis coming up. And again, we know we have Crisis coming up next fall. So maybe they're building.
Yeah.
Well, not maybe. They're definitely building towards it. I mean, we already know that.
I did see a tweet that was another old tweet. It was actually a recent one, but it was referencing something from the fall, and that CW has no plans of getting rid of any of the Arrowverse shows right now.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
They all should be coming back. I haven't seen anything in writing yet, but...
No, but I think we talked about it when we talked about the crossover. There's no way it doesn't get at least one more year. To me, they have to get at least one more season. But I also don't want to see it go on indefinitely if the future that we're seeing is what the show is going to become in a year or two. Because I'm not interested in watching that show anymore. If it's, you know, future Renee and future, you know, all these characters.
Yeah, I'm not liking that too much. But if I know it, I do trust them. I will say that.
Right.
I have been led to disappointment in the past, and then they do like a 180, and you're like, oh, nice save. You know, it's like, so you never, it could be misdirection, it could be something like that. It's, who knows? But yeah, I agree with you. I'm not as high on Arrow this year as I have.
Which is funny
had
for
lower
you to say
years,
because you were...
That's
you
my
were
favorite
super
show.
Excited about this season before
well, they're
it
out
started.
Because of the Escape from Superman.
Well, I know, but that's what
and
I'm
that's
saying.
And that's over.
I know, but that's my point is that you were so excited for this season, and now you're kind of not. So
right.
To me, that means they haven't lived up to their promise. Like, they haven't done a good job.
That's like anything else, though. If you're really high on something, and I thought the whole prison thing, it did deliver. I thought it dragged out a little too long, which means I didn't want them to shorten it. I just think I thought it could have been a little bit better. But when you have expectations, when you're that excited, that's what happens. There's going to be a letdown, even if it delivered 100%. Whatever comes after it, you're going to be you got to take that breath. You know,
right.
So you're going to have
a letdown.
I'm
not saying it's a bad thing. You don't have to defend yourself.
No, I know. I'm not defending myself. I'm saying, hey, that's what happens.
Right.
I'm
just saying my point is that you were so excited thinking this was going to be the best season so far.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are both kind of let down by it.
It still could be. Because, like I said, they've done that in the past. They could do a 180 by mid-March, and all of a sudden we're like, wow. Actually, don't they do another break again? And then they go later into the spring, I think.
There's probably a mid-spring finale or whatever they do every year.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day break.
Right. What about, are you caught up with Supergirl? Well, caught up, there's only been one. It just came back Sunday.
No.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't caught up on that yet. I've been, I'm actually a little bit behind on that. I do want to catch up. I think I'm like two or three behind on that. I want to catch up to what's coming up. I know what's coming up with Luther and all that.
Yeah, well, I'll just say after the first episode, I feel the same way that I do about Arrow. It's like I don't like the direction that this episode seems to be taking the show into at least for the next several weeks. I mean, again, like you said, it could change again before the end of the season, but... They made a weird choice, I think, at the end of this episode that is going to impact the next several
And
several
when's
weeks.
Legends come back?
I don't know. I imagine probably this week, isn't it?
No. I think they go... Their season is shorter.
Yeah.
I think they're only like... I don't know. Don't quote me, but like 14 episodes. So
right,
I think they have a longer break, and then they'll be over in March.
But that's one for me that really can't let me down because I have no real high expectations for it. I think it's just a fun show, and it just takes me from week to week.
Right.
So
it's literally each episode. I know they're tied in, but they're almost like one-off comics.
Right.
You know, it's you can and I hope that show doesn't get canceled. That's the one I'm worried about the most because I really enjoy it. It's like it's just fun.
Right.
It's just fun and stupid.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't take itself seriously at all. It's the only one that really doesn't. And they love to make jokes about themselves.
Right.
And I like that. Like I said, it's an escape to me from the rest of the Arrowverse, in a sense.
It's an escape from the rest of the escapes that we're escaping.
Right, right.
From life.
Yeah. Escaping my escapism.
Right.
I need a break. So. I need a vacation from my vacation.
Exactly. Like we were saying last week, you got to leave your knowledge of the comic books at the door now.
Right.
So, all right. Is that enough of an escape for this week? See how I wrapped that up? Did you see that? Look at that. We're getting good.
Yeah, if you don't have
anything else?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I got nothing else. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. You can reach us on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. You can listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, just by searching The Bright Side Chat. And please, as our listeners have started to do, rate, review us. It's awesome. We love to, we love to get the feedback. Hit us up on Twitter. Any topics? Yeah, I think we're going to be getting a topic soon. I've heard rumors somebody's trying to contact us. But yeah, any topics people want to talk about, and Facebook.
Facebook.com/TheBrightSideChat.
All right. That's good. That was a good week.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Let's close the book.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Hey, Fred. Hey, thanks for tuning in to The Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention before we start. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to The Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.